You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Broadway, Broadway, in all of its glory, we all have a memory, we all have a story. Was there an understudy, or did the show stop? Did you see Barbara before she shot to the top? Join us as we revel in a reverie, it's my Broadway memory.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I'm literally so excited. We have Todrick Hall. He is an American singer, songwriter, actor, director, choreographer, and YouTuber, honey. He aspires to be a role model for LGBTQ+. And people of color, and includes his experiences as a Black gay man in his art. Starting with season 8, Hall became a resident choreographer in RuPaul's Drag Race, one of my favorite shows of all time, and occasional judge. From 2016 to 2017, Hall began his Broadway career in the original Broadway production of The Color Purple. Since then, he starred as Lola in Kinky Boots, which I saw him do, and it was unbelievable on Broadway, and Billy Flynn in Chicago on Broadway and the West End. And his latest Broadway credit was Ogie in Waitress last summer.
And excuse me, Colleen Ballinger is an American YouTuber, comedian, actress, singer, and writer. She's known for her internet character, Miranda Sings, posting videos of the character on YouTube, performing her one-woman comedy act on tour in theaters worldwide, and creating a Netflix original television show based on the character. She has appeared as an actress and singer on Broadway, off-Broadway, in regional theater, on television, in recordings, and web series. Ballinger played Dawn in the Broadway musical Waitress, and tonight, in fact, marked 1 year since her Broadway debut. Coincidentally.
Iconic. Amazing. So without further ado, please welcome Todrick Hall and Colleen Ballinger.
Yay!
Hi.
How are you guys doing?
Good.
I'm so good. I'm so excited. I'm so happy that Colleen was able to do this. I shot her a text message, and in 2 seconds, she was like, absolutely, because we had so much fun with the photos that you took of us.
Yes.
I mean, thank you. Like, how it happened, like, Todrick, I photographed you for Kinky Boots, and that was such an amazing experience. And we just saw each other on the street, and you were like, want to photograph us for Waitress? And I was like, 100. And you were like, want Colleen to do it as well? And I was like, 100. And
why don't we pull those photos up?
I love these pictures. I love them.
Chance.
Oh my God. It was one of, look at that. It was
beautiful.
It was amazing. I mean, look at your energy. I mean, you're both being on Broadway together. I mean, look at the joy. Look at that joy.
The gayest Ogie ever.
But honey, we were living for it. We were living for it. Do you miss doing the show? Do you have amazing memories doing the show?
I miss it so much. I mean, who wouldn't miss kissing Todrick Hall every single night and be in love with Todrick every single night? And that booty. Literally, it was so fun. I think one of the best experiences ever, because on stage with Todrick, there were so many moments where it was his goal to make me break.
I love that.
And it was his goal to like make me laugh on stage. And he succeeded. every night. So it was super, super fun.
Do you have one in particular that you can recall?
There are so many. I can't even, like, I mean, one night my dress ripped, like, fully, my wedding dress in our wedding scene. Like, we don't even know how, just, like, the seam came undone. And I was just like, I feel a draft, like, on my buttocks, and I didn't know what it was, and we realized it was my dress, and we're like tucking it in. But another thing is on the cake, like on the wedding cake.
Oh my gosh.
Our wedding cake is like, it's a prop, you know, like it's a set piece, and so obviously the original Ogie was not Todrick, so the man and woman on the top of the cake are Caucasian. And so Todrick always had something to say, and one night I think he said it like out loud. Like, I don't think 1,000% to me. I think you said, is he white?
I was like, Jenna comes out with the cake and I'm like, oh, I'm white. And that's what it was. Burst out laughing. And Colleen was like, grabbing me.
So he called it out a few times. Yeah.
But that's funny. I mean,
multiple times. Every night he did something to make me die of laughter.
That's amazing.
That is so funny. I'm obsessed with that. you guys are perfect. I'm so glad that you're here. Brian, go for it.
No. Oh, no, Michael, you can go ahead.
I did, before we just continue on with the show, and I did just want to say, I wanted to just acknowledge the passing of Chi-Chi Devane before we continued on with tonight's festivities. And Todrick, you are part of the Drag Race family, and as a fan and lover of the show, you know, in my living room every Friday night, when it's not COVID, I mean, my girls just in the living room, we watch it live every Friday night. It's watching this on Instagram unfold. I mean, the community is just so upset about this. And I just wanted to acknowledge that she was such a brilliant artist. And I didn't know if you wanted to say anything about Chi-Chi.
Yes, I know that it seems to be the normal thing to do for any human to react in a way that is just like the most glowing Yelp review you could give about any human being when they pass. But to say that Chi-Chi was a great person would be such an understatement. She was always so full of life and so energetic and so genuine. I think that's why people fell in love with her and why she was brought back to All Stars so quickly, because it takes a very particular person to like lay their heart and all their flaws and imperfections on the stage. And I think the fact that she was so willing to be so real with everybody across America was just the most beautiful thing, the way she treated and interacted with the people that were backstage, on stage, the way that she was like so like separated from any drama that happened with the show. Every single person loves Chi-Chi Devane. There's no Jake Yonce videos where people are in fights with her, because she truly was genuinely an angel on earth. And it's so sad to see that story. And just a reminder that we all need to be kind to each other in a world where so many people are looking and finding ways to cancel each other. We need to remember that life is so short. We're not going to be here forever. And we need more and more and more love on the internet.
Yes, heard, and thank you. And I really hope that everyone watching right now really takes that into consideration, because we need joy, we need love, we need positivity. I mean, right now it's tough. So let's keep screaming that from the rooftops, and let's have a good time tonight. So
yes.
Before we started, I did want to mention that watching the two of you in your creative environment, like I did, first of all, backstage of Kinky Boots and Waitress, and Colleen backstage of Waitress, you two are the epitome of superstars. You two, I mean, first of all, your artistry speaks volumes. Second of all, your connection is amazing. But the way that you treat those around you, I can get emotional thinking about it. I watched, Colleen, you are a mom. You are a working mom who's a brilliant artist. And I was watching you take care of the needs and wants of your fans backstage while committing to your artistry and also being a mother. I mean, that I will never, ever forget watching you do that. And Todrick, the same goes to you. You are brilliant, brilliant people, leaders of contemporary artists. And I just wanted people to know that you are 100% cream of the crop, amazing, amazing artists. And
oh, thank you, Michael.
So sweet. Thank you.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome. So let's start.
I feel the same way about you, by the way. I
think
it's so cool that you have paved this path for yourself and people look at you as such a legitimate human being, like all of these humongous Broadway stars that don't have to work with a photographer who in the beginning of your career didn't have like Broadway world like blasting you and supporting you. But because of the nature of who you are as a human being and your reputation and the quality of the products that you put out and how easy you are to work with, that everybody just respects you so much. And it's just been a pleasure to watch you grow as well. So thank you.
Yeah, it was crazy when you took my picture. I just have to say, I'm going to applaud you as well, because I hate photo shoots. I hate my picture taken. Like, I'm so awkward. I'm so uncomfortable. I never know what to do. It's always so weird. And you just went in and we were just having a conversation like we were best friends, and you'd just be like, snap, snap, while we were talking. And they're some of my favorite photos that have ever been taken of me. Like,
same.
And you did it so fast. It was like 5 minutes. We're just chatting and laughing, and you're just like, click, click, click. Oh, got it. And it was like the most beautiful pictures. So no, you're incredible.
Oh, well, I'm putting both of those quotes on my website. So thank you for that. You guys are amazing. All right, Brian.
Michael, what do you say you start?
Thank you.
The Playbill shtick that we do here.
So the shtick is, I have like 9 of these, right? And they're like double stuffed Oreos, like just like thick, like during quarantine, like me. So I will say what I like to do, and you could do whatever you want. Now, Todrick, you have a different setup, and Colleen, we'll figure it out.
We will get to.
I know.
I basically like to do this, and you tell me when to stop. So.
Stop.
Okay, which one am I picking?
Drood?
Sure.
What do you guys think?
I mean,
it's a pick. Who's picking?
You guys pick. Who cares?
Oh, the mystery of Edwin Drood.
Yes.
Okay, great.
What are we picking for? Are you gonna talk about it, or are we talking about it?
Yeah, no, he's gonna talk about it.
So basically, how it's gonna work is, this is what I like to do. Brian and I usually start, and we just show. Like, we like to do this, like, you know, like, this is how it is. This is the thing. And I like to pick at random, and so does Brian. Brian, well, sometimes you have, like, it depends. But I pick at random, and I just talk about the story associated with, because this is keeping Broadway alive. It's going, right. You know, we're dark, so this is the light. And Drood is one of my favorite shows. It was on Broadway originally in 87 at the Imperial Theater, and it's
pouring out those quick facts.
Honey. so it starred... it was Betty Buckley as Drood. And so if you know the song, The Writing on the Wall, and she hits that high Z at the end, that full belt, that's Drood. And it was with Cleo Lane. And it's a brilliant, brilliant show. And what I, you know, what we like to do is, you know, really open up and find the things that we've kept. Like, you know, this was 2012. And in this revival, it was Stephanie J. Block and Cheetah and Betsy Wolf.
Oh my gosh.
Women.
I know Jesse Mueller, Andy Carl, I mean, Janine DeVita, Allison Sumet, who was our good news for Covenant House last week. And we like to look at the headshots, the gorge headshots of the time.
Oh my gosh.
Look at Stephanie's. I feel like that was her Wicked headshot as well. Yeah. Todrick, you could probably confirm that.
So the interesting thing about Drood is that the audience gets to kind of choose the ending. Do you happen to remember how that worked in this revival?
I want to say that the ending probably was like roast. So basically what happens was Charles Dickens, he died in the middle of, I'm dead also, Todrick. He died in the middle of writing the novel of Drood. So when they turned it into a musical, basically what had happened was they were like, why doesn't the audience vote on the ending? So each character has a different song of if they're the murderer or they're the witness or they're the, and then the audience literally goes, okay, I want like Princess Puffer to be the murderer. I want Jasper to be the whatever, but the endings change every single night. The endings change.
That's
so
fun.
It's iconic. So that being said, I think Princess Puffer, which is Cheetah's role, was the murderer. So she had the like one of the last songs, which is like, yes, I killed, you know. It's a great, great. Bye, Brian.
Bye.
He's over it, he's done. But
my dog, sorry.
No, it's okay.
Excuses.
So that's that's my little memory, and that's sort of what we like to do. We talk about the and I think I just I it was a winter break of my senior year of college, if it was December of 2012, and I think I might have went with like one of my best friends from college, like Ryan or something like that. Nothing too eventful. It was just a great time. Would have loved to see that show in the 80s. Got to see it in 2012, and
cheers.
Moving on. Yeah, so, it love it.
So. If we could pull up those photos that Todrick sent us of his room, we're going to yes. do his memory next. I totally geeked out when Michael sent me these. He was like, look at this. This is Todrick's room with all
I'm
the playbills.
I'm so jealous of the waitress costume on the wall.
I mean, this is just gorgeous. How do you pick how you're going to like display certain ones with others? Is it all color coordinated?
No, it's not color coordinated. I have this woman named Shirley. Shout out to Shirley at Fast Frame. She's just this awesome lady that I've become friends with and call her and like make her be my therapist sometimes. But I, every time I get whatever, I think it's 9 or 12, whatever new playbills, I just take them to her and then she puts them in a frame. Because I would never be responsible enough. Like I would lose that little photo album that you have, but I won't lose the pictures on my wall. So I have kept every single playbill from every show that I've seen, unless it's a repeat of a show. But I always go back and save at least one of the playbills. And I'm so grateful that I have them all because there's a specific memory like you just have with every single show you go see. I just texted you pictures, by the way, just in case they become, I don't know how to put them on the thing, but.
We're uploading them to the world of my Broadway memory.
Okay.
And the costumes, you got to keep your boots from Lola and your Ogie costume, which is awesome.
I actually have a costume from every musical that I've ever been in. I have a costume from Memphis. I have a costume from The Color Purple. And I am working right now on getting my costume from Chicago. But now it's like my thing that when I negotiate the contract, by the time I got to Waitress, I already knew that this was something that you had to do. And I've been working with Andrew Lloyd Webber on some projects that I can't say yet. But like in my negotiation, I'm like, yeah, Andrew, I'm down, but it's going to cost you a Grisabella dress and this and that. And I've been like negotiating costumes because one day I plan on having my very own like Broadway museum.
Do you want the Grizz dresses? Do you want the revival or do you want the original, like the original?
I would rather have Betty Buckley's, the original, or I would like to have like Nicole Scherzinger's costume just because I'm friends with her and I think that would be cool. But I want there to be like a story behind each one of them. I actually got Donny Osmond's Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat from Andrew Lloyd Webber and I grew up watching that movie all the time. So you're probably gonna see me at a pride parade or something wearing it at some point.
That shot of being told we're all so right. You know, that shot of the brothers in the beginning.
Yeah.
That is like, that's, I think that made me come out of the closet. That right there.
I think it made a lot of people come out of the closet. I think it made people even question who did need to come out of the closet. They're like, wait, am I?
Do I need to come out of the closet?
I think we all do. But now we have uploaded the pictures you just sent, Todrick. So speaking of costumes, you have, I mean, I do, like.
Me and Michael.
Can you believe?
Dying.
That's Idina Menzel's original, the first Elphaba dress that she ever wore.
Wow.
And that is Kristen Chenoweth's tiny costume, which I wish you could see how short that is. And there's actually a story because she had, Laura Bel Bondi had to wear that dress for a few weeks after Kristen left. And so there's like a layer that's like this tall underneath that. So even though it's tiny, it was actually even smaller than that when I got like originally, but there's just like a little bit of Laura in there to overcompensate for the height.
The day that he got these dresses, he FaceTimed me that morning and was like, I have plans today and I have to cancel everything. I'm so stressed. These dresses are coming. I can't think about anything else. He just FaceTimed me just to tell me he was excited they were arriving and he like had to cancel all his plans.
Oh yeah.
I would cancel everything for the month. I don't know.
It's the hat that gets me because when I was 13 years old and being bullied and obsessed with Wicked, I would sit up my bed and buy a witch hat from Walmart and bend the wires to make it look like Susan Hilferty's costume design.
So oh my gosh.
Have that hat is like,
yeah,
that's amazing. That's amazing.
And I honestly cannot believe that I own these costumes and I am treating them like they are Blue Ivy, Rumi, and Sir. Like, I am like, I treat them like they're just like, no one can touch them. I'm like, don't even look at them too long. Like, yeah. I want to move my house so no one knows my address and put the, like, I'm so like protective of them. And every morning I wake up and I go look into the room and I'm like, it was all worth it, Todrick. You did it, kiddo.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my over God. Some dresses. That is amazing. Like, and it's so funny to think that that, like, because that's the original dress. Like, that, like, made it through, like, which way to the party. And, like,
yeah.
You know, which is a cut song, as you know. It's like, that is, like, that has seen some shit, that dress.
And next time I get something, Michael, you're going to be the person I call, because I need a hype man like this who's excited about this as me. But Colleen, honestly, was like, No. Colleen was like, I'm coming over to try these dresses on as soon as it's safe for me to come over there. Like, she is probably going to be at my
house. But I do agree that he would be a better hype man than me. I was just like mostly just jealous.
when I saw Wicked, and I think what you posted was that you could see the mic and the hat because she was mic'd thrice. So
and they kept it in there.
Well, like, yeah, the mic is in with the costume that they sent me. It's crazy.
Oh my goodness. That's insane.
When I saw Wicked, I saw January 5th, 2005, and that's also my passcode to get in my phone. So if anyone takes my phone, you know how to get in now. But January 5th, 2005, Idina, it was 2 days before she fell through the trap door.
Oh my God.
And she went like she did, you know, you think, what is it? Tornado, what is it? Just Twisters come just out of the blue, whatever that line is. And she hit her mic and it went, and she stopped the show and went to the back of the house and then continued the show.
Wow.
Tony winning icon.
Todrick, do you happen to have any playbill with you that you want to share a memory from?
I don't have a playbill with me. That's why we sent the pictures.
No, that's cool.
I'm at the studio, but I think I've shared enough. Well, boom, Wicked is the story, the musical that changed my life. Like, it was the thing that made me want to be on Broadway. I knew that I loved musical theater without knowing what it was when I saw Brandy and Cinderella. But when I saw Wicked, I went there and I was the brokest kid in the entire world. I grew up so poor and I was standing outside waiting to try to see this show and I was playing the lottery. And at that time, like 300 or 500 people would be playing the lottery. And I won that ticket and I was like, this is just like God and destiny and like everything that has made, like no one could possibly want to see the show more than me. When they called my name, I like jumped on the guy who was pulling the names out, like wrapped my legs around him. And I'd never heard of a Shoshana Bean. I didn't know what that was, but I saw her. I saw Megan Hilty and I was like, Glinda was like my character. But when Shoshana Bean came out, I had never heard like a non-Black woman sing like that in my entire life. And I had my flip phone trying to record it because I just wanted to document. I know I did it. I wasn't going to post it or anything, but I just needed to like savor that moment. And somewhere like in the bottom of some box in the storage unit, there's probably a video, a recording of her singing The Wizard and I. But it was just like the most amazing thing that has ever happened to me. Like, I just could not believe that I got to be in the room where it happens and see Wicked before it was like, you know, like, I don't know. I just could not believe I got to see it. So for me to own those costumes is like such a full circle thing. And I don't know, I just like gag every day and become gayer and gayer every time I walk into my room.
So that kid that, you know, was dying to see Wicked, then Broadway debut. How did that translate? Mm-hmm. What was that moment like for you?
I'll never forget my Broadway debut. I remember being in auditioning for it, getting the show and like being backstage and my whole family was on the front row. And I remember when the orchestra started. In fact, today, so randomly, I was working out and I listened to The Color Purple today for my workout. And I was just like, you'll never forget. I mean, watching Colleen's face also when she was about to hit stage for the first time, not to take her moment away, but it was just so cool because I've known Colleen for so long and I knew that was always her dream. And I was so happy and grateful that I wasn't in the audience watching it, that I was backstage and got to see her, like when they said, we're about to start, to see her take this big breath, like, I'm about to do it. It was just like the cutest thing in the entire world. And I remembered what that was like for me. And so it was just one of those like life-changing things, especially because I grew up in an area where there was not a lot of great African-American representation. I never felt like I connected or registered or identified with the Black representation that I saw. And seeing that show was the first time I remember being so proud to be African American and seeing all those people sing this gospel music in a way only they could. And for me to get to make that my Broadway debut with a full African American cast and a bunch of people who had been in like the most iconic Broadway musicals, Dreamgirls, The Lion King, Aida, all of the shows that had inspired me, was, and to be on there with American Idol, like person I was a fan of, Fantasia, who I'd voted for so long, like it was just like the most perfect scenario that you could ever have of making your Broadway show and Broadway debut. And I'll never forget, like I could be 85 years old and I would remember the exact feeling that I felt the first time I was about to step on stage for an audience on Broadway.
Colleen, it's your turn.
Oh yeah. My God, I have too many memories. I wrote down like all the shows I'd been to and the list was getting very long. Like,
I'm always interested to know what was the first Broadway show that you saw.
Drowsy Chaperone with Sutton Foster.
Oh my gosh.
Huge Drowsy fan.
Yeah, that was the first. I didn't get to New York until I think I was 18 when my first trip to New York. And I've been obsessed with Broadway since I could breathe. And I saw Drowsy Chaperone. I was literally in like the balcony in the last row, like couldn't see anything. Like there were ants on the stage, but I opened the playbill and I saw Sutton Foster's face and I wept. When I tell you I wept, like it's an understatement, because it was my dream to be on Broadway. And that dream seemed like, well, that's never gonna happen. I'm never even gonna say that out loud because that would never happen. And so the fact that I got to see a show on Broadway was my dream come true. And so I literally sobbed. Like I opened it and I saw her headshot and I sobbed and I just clutched up and I was like, I can't believe I'm here. And I just wept. It was amazing.
She's killer. That. You knew her before Drowsy?
Yeah, she became my idol when I heard the Thoroughly Modern Millie soundtrack.
Right.
I was like, oh, this is my idol. Like, and I was in high school walking around with my CD Walkman, like listening to Thoroughly Modern Millie on repeat during lunch. And I was obsessed with her. I still am. I think she's incredible. So I couldn't believe I got to see her. I was in the same building as Sutton Foster. It blew my mind.
We need revivals of a lot of things. We need Spelling Bee, starring the two of you as Leaf and Olive or Chip or Marcy or anyone. But we need Little Women with you as Jo March and you as Lori Todrick. And we need what else? We need a Millie moment. We need you as Millie. And we need Todrick as, what is his name?
What's his name?
Jimmy. What am I talking about?
Okay, yeah.
Jimmy, yeah, sorry, Jimmy, it cut out. Jimmy, or I would have jumped in there. Jimmy, yeah, Jimmy, oh, Jimmy. Yes, Todd would be such a good Jimmy.
Oh, you'd be perfect, too.
Love that. Iconic.
Michael, do we have any questions? Oh, what's up?
No, nothing. I don't even know why I said like I was going to say something. I think I was going to like excuse you because like I'm at my parents' house because we're trying out like an RV trip right now and we are making a pit stop at my parents' house right now. And I'm in my childhood bedroom where there's so many things today about being on this podcast. One, it's the 1 year anniversary of being on Broadway, but also I'm in my childhood bedroom where I would cry and dream of being on Broadway. And also now this room is like the guest room. And also now my mom has chickens that live right outside this window. So if you hear chickens clucking, I've been like so like stressed about it because he's like talking about like these really serious issues. And I just hear the chickens be like, and I was
just like chickens. Oh, wait, there's Todrick. I love that.
Isn't it such a surreal thing to see yourself in a playbill?
Surreal, surreal.
What was that moment like for you both? Do you both remember?
Yes, I remember. I mean, for me, the whole process of getting to be on Broadway was so, every step was surreal and I didn't believe it. And I still now be like, when I was on Broadway, when I say that sentence, I'm like, that's not about me. How did I just say that sentence? Like, it doesn't feel real at all. But like, it was such a crazy experience, the whole process. And Todrick was every step of the way. I mean, Todrick was the reason it all happened. So, you know, he called me and we talked about it. And I was like, well, yeah, I'd want to do Waitress, but that's never going to happen. Like, you know, it just seems so insane. It seemed like that's not even, I felt like the same girl I was when I was 13 thinking, oh, my dream would be to be on Broadway, but that's not possible. And so that's how I felt even a year ago, you know? And so then, when I was writing up my bio, I was like, this is so weird. This is going to be in a playbill? No way. And then the rehearsals were happening. I was like, I'm rehearsing for Broadway? This isn't real. No way. It's like every step of the process just felt fake. Like I felt like it was a dream. It didn't seem real. It was really crazy. Signing my first playbill. Sorry, I keep interrupting you. I'm the worst guest. No, no, please never have me on again. but I remember seeing the playbill. I think I was too nervous. I was like near vomiting the whole week of my Broadway debut because I was so nervous.
She was so nervous.
It's an understatement. There's no word to describe how nervous. I was like dry heaving in the wings. But like I was like I was so nervous. But seeing the playbill was exciting, but the most exciting part was signing my first playbill. That was crazy. Like that was like, oh my gosh, I used to be on the other side of this barricade waiting for hours in the snow, in the rain, anything just to get a signature. And now there are so many people out here wanting my signature. That made me cry so much. And I was such a disaster, but it was all magical. And I just talked way too long.
This is your show, but I that you said that I want to make a segue. You know, we're going to go into some questions because some of you on the Instagram at My Broadway Memory dropped us some questions to ask. So I will say, if you want to know more about My Broadway Memory and about the good news that we have, like the Lebanese Red Cross or who our guests are per week, see video clips, learn more fun things, you can follow us at My Broadway Memory on Instagram and Facebook and on Twitter, which is at My B-Way Memory. But Instagram is where we kind of all do our like dirty work and all that good stuff. But follow us there and ask us questions. But we have two questions prepped already. And I'm going to ask this one for Colleen, which is from Anna Jean. And she wants to know, this is a good segue, how, where, and when did you find out you were going to be on Broadway?
Well, it was like, I don't know how to answer this because it started off with Todrick calling me and saying that there was an opportunity that had come up for us both to be in Waitress.
Fierce.
And so that Fierce. Was, but it, you know, it's not official until it's official in this industry. So everyone talks. But like nothing ever happens, it seems. And so I didn't believe him. Like I remember being like, no way, you're lying. Like, and then I got the email from my agent and I still didn't think it was real. I was like, this still doesn't seem real. Cause so I talked to Todrick. I didn't believe Todrick. I love you, Todrick, but that just didn't seem real to me. And then I got the email from my agents and they're like, do you want to do this? I was like, what? Yes, if you turn this down, I'm firing you. Like, of course I'm doing this. That's kind of how I found out. But like I said, I didn't believe it. But when I was talking to Todrick, I was in this, like my side yard where all the succulents are that my husband had planted. I'm so vivid in my memory where I was when I was talking to you, Todrick. So I was in my succulent garden, like talking to him, pacing back and forth. And, that's where I was. I don't remember when it was. I know that they wanted me to come much earlier. They wanted us to do a much earlier run, but I had just had a baby. And so I was like, let's let the bits and pieces heal before I run around. Yeah.
That's so interesting for you to bring up because the show is about that kind of subject matter. I know that it wasn't your character, but what was that? Did that change your experience at all?
Oh my God. Yes. Well, I've been obsessed with that show since it came out. I love it. And so I was a fan of the show before I was pregnant, before I had a baby or anything. And I loved it. And then I got pregnant and I listened to the soundtrack. And I remember driving in the car, we had the In-N-Out drive-through listening to the musical, and I was weeping. I was like, these lyrics mean something so different now. And then being on stage and being a part of a show that was about women and how incredible women are and the things that they go through just to survive. Like it was so powerful every night. And I will never forget the feeling of being on stage at the end of the show. I don't want to give away any spoilers, but the lead character, all the lead girls are on stage, and the lead girl, Jenna, like I assume no one knows it. Jenna makes a really powerful decision. She's just given birth in the hospital to her child, and she makes a really powerful, terrifying, and incredible decision to change the course of her life, and ends an abusive relationship. And when that happens, every night you could hear and feel the women in the audience gasp or just a woman sticking up for herself was so powerful. You could feel the audience be so impacted, either want to do that in their own abusive relationship, get out, or remember when they did it and they got out, or the feeling of, oh, I'm currently in one. Every woman in that audience related to that story in some way. And that moment every night, it ripped my heart out. It was so powerful. And that's the reason I love theater. There's, you cannot get that feeling from a movie. I can't, at least. I don't want to speak for everyone, but it's so powerful. So it was so impactful having a child, and those lyrics just meant so much more every night. Even though they weren't mine to sing, I wept every night.
That's so beautiful.
That is beautiful. Just because I feel like that's, we're talking about what waitress means and because we do love call to arms, but if anyone does know anyone that is going through a similar situation, the hotline for National Domestic Violence is 1-800-799-7233. So you can always call that hotline for help if you need. I just felt like that might've been appropriate because Waitress is such a beautiful musical that has affected so many people. And we never know what our neighbor or a friend is actually really going through. So thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
We do have another question. This one's for Todrick from Mackenzie. Do you still get nervous getting on stage?
I do get very nervous. Not like if I'm on a tour or something, if it's a place, it's a safe haven for me when it's just my fans. I think there's like a little bit of adrenaline and like a nervousness that will always exist and be present, but it's usually a first time thing. But when I did Waitress with Colleen, I was just so excited for her to make her debut, and my role was so small in the show that I just was like crying for her when I saw her. I filmed her walking on stage from the wings because I was like, I just want her to have this, to always be able to look back at what this is like. I hope I sent that to you, by the way.
You did, yeah.
But it was just such an incredible thing to watch that happen for my friend, because she really did not believe me when I told her that. But I do get nervous, but I think that the moment you hear the audience cheer for you, you just like that goes away, because you realize you're surrounded by so many people who are rooting for your success. And I think Colleen and I both just felt very prepared. She rehearsed a lot. She rehearsed really hard. She was so professional. I was the one joking around, but she was like taking everything so seriously. And she had so many props that she had to move. And she was doing incredible even in rehearsal, but I just know how hard she is on herself and how great she wants to be. And she wanted the cast to respect her being there as well. We both didn't want the cast to be like, oh, these two YouTubers show up and just are like,
I think that, yeah, that was my biggest fear, is that like, I was nervous in general just to be on Broadway, but like most of my nerves were like, all of these people who are in this show, I know because I have a background in theater and I lived in New York auditioning for Broadway shows for years. Like, I know they've all worked their butts off their whole life to be here, and they don't know me. And they might think, oh, this is just some weird YouTuber who puts lipstick all over her face and she just gets to be in the show. That's unfair. And so I really felt like I had something to prove to the Broadway community. And, that is what made me the most nervous, was earning their approval, because I respected them so much.
Yeah. I feel like I called Shoshana Bean when I got this role, because when I got Lola and Kinky Boots, I was like, okay, while this is stunt casting, this is something that is a role that I could have gotten on my own, a character that I couldn't identify with more. But when I got Billy Flynn in Chicago, and even when I got Ogie and Waitress, there was a part of me that was like, are you taking a role away from somebody who would be perfect for this role, who would walk in and get it? And there's a part of me that feels, a little bit bad for people who are traditional actors who are now having to compete with people who have social media followers and who might be able to get roles over them. And in this situation, I don't feel like that's necessarily the case with Colleen and I, because we are musical theater performers who have been doing this and training to do this our entire lives. But that feeling does exist, and it's not just something that's in your head, but that you feel like the cast might be thinking as well. But then I think about the fact that the bigger picture is we were able to, and mostly Colleen, honestly, was able to sell so many tickets that it was able to extend the jobs of all these performers, and not just the people on stage, but the people doing wigs and the people backstage and the ushers. It allows theater to continue in a way. And for us, we brought in a new audience of people that re-inspired and reignited the cast, because the audiences may not have been cheering in the same way and for the same parts. And most importantly, you're bringing a new generation of kids to it. theater who would maybe not have ever gone to see a show. And for that, I am so grateful that we have been awarded the opportunity to come in and take it seriously and be able to be able to bring a new generation of people to the theater. That's like my favorite part about being there. So many of your fans would have never gone and purchased a ticket to see a Broadway show had you not been in it. But I know from my fans, I've created a whole like little army of thespians that keep going to now see Broadway shows because they saw and loved Kinky Boots so much.
Yeah, that was the craziest. Oh, I'm sorry. Lola, yes. Sorry. Nope. Please praise Patrick. That needs to happen.
Your Lola was, I mean, I will never, ever forget it. I will never, ever forget it. It was, I think you had one moment where you just like, you were crossing down right and you just like played to the balcony of the Al Hirschfeld, like the booth of the Al Hirschfeld house left. And I had these chills that were just like shot up from the floor. And I was like, that is a star. I mean, like you, that the three dimensionality of your Lola was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. And also YouTube, the two of you, like, if anything, now, like, you have paved so many ways, but we need YouTube. YouTube is just as important a medium, and it proved that now. Because
back when you guys started, it wasn't, you know, what it is now. It was so different. And it's like you guys worked so hard to create this foundation for your career.
And also, but we need you in a pandemic. We need you now. We need the content, and you know how to do it. You paved the way. You've been doing it for years. And you have proved that it is a way that we can find ourselves, that we can be entertained, that we can heal. And you are trailblazers, the two of you.
Amen. Just saw that in the comments.
What happened? What's in the comments?
I saw amen.
Oh, got amen. It. Yes. So, hallelujah.
But before we run out of time, we run out of time tonight, I just wanted to get to the game that we have planned. So we have a Broadway themed, this is the first time we're playing this on the show, but it's trivia.
No. Why do we both do this?
But also Todrick knows how intense I am at games. You guys are in for a treat.
Wow. Okay. Can we do just for shits and giggles? Can we all do the ooh just for like a good photo op moment? Ooh, we love that. Okay, perfect.
At this point in the live stream event, we played Broadway themed memory games. While these games are tons of fun, they're best enjoyed in the video format of our episode. If you'd like to see the game portion of this episode, visit My Broadway Memory on YouTube or Facebook. Now back to My Broadway Memory.
Yes, I am so ashamed that we just did Broadway trivia and I failed it.
I'm gonna be honest, I feel
this
ashamed.
A very elite Broadway trivia. It's like who designed the costumes for the revival of Titanic that didn't happen yet? That's like the question.
Ooh, I wonder who it is. Because those are going to be fierce. And also, well, we love the Titanic. Well,
I want to feel pretty. I can't believe you even knew that name. Anyway.
Well, honey.
Design any show after Wicked. Got it.
You guys are amazing. Now, before we send you on our merry way, you know, we just wanted to say some thanks and some, you know, always follow us on social media. We are at My Broadway Memory on Instagram and Facebook, and on Twitter, we're at My B-Way Memory. We love to hear from you, so please follow us at My Broadway Memory. This was so much fun. I'm so happy that you guys were here. And I mean,
so willing to share your memories with us.
Like you guys are dream guests. Like we know where to find you. You're at Todrick and you're at Colleen. So that's pretty simple, I think. And we want to say that we're going on a little bit of a break for 2 weeks, right, Brian?
2 weeks. Yeah. So we'll be back September 10th.
Yes,
back in with some more episodes.
Yes, and do we want to announce who? So sure. We don't know who is going to be the guest on September 10th because that's still being worked out. But it's going to be very exciting. But for those Be More Chill fans, on September 17th, we're going to have Jennifer Ashley Tepper and Joey Conis. Jennifer Ashley Tepper is one of the head producers of Be More Chill, and Joey Conis wrote Be More Chill. So it's going to be iconic, so fun, so amazing. So keep watching us and on social media on My Broadway Memory, let us know who you want to see and we'll do our best to make it happen.
Awesome. Well, thank you again both so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Want to say anything before you head out?
We love you. You're amazing.
We love you.
Spread love on the internet. Spread love. No hate.
No hate. Yes. No hate. Love you both so much. Thank you all for watching. Have great, safe travels. Live your life. Be safe.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.